Since it officially ended last Thursday, we've been trying to put the war in Iraq in perspective with some of the guests who've been with us to talk about it over its many years. Today, it's Army veteran Brian Turner's turn. He served in Iraq in 2003 and 2004, an experience he turned into two books of award-winning poetry that were published when he returned, Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise. Since then, Brian's also gotten married. He's teaching. You remember we spoke with him when he was on something called the Amy Lowell Poetry Traveling Scholarship. I think he was in Athens at the time. He came to our attention in the New York Times online series called Home Fires, which gathers the writing of veterans. We highly recommend it, as Brian Turner joins us from WMFE in Orlando, Florida. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's an honor. Thanks for having me.
So how have you been?
I've been good. I've been looking back at the years behind, of course, and then also looking forward, which is, I think it's a good sign for me. I hope there are others like me who've returned. Maybe they finished their time in uniform, and maybe they're finding ways to integrate into the country that we live in.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because when you were traveling on this scholarship, which you were stunned at the time that you'd received it, you know, quite something, traveling for a year.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, your only job, write poetry. But it was also perfect for you, because at the time you said you needed to really travel out, almost circle before you could land back in the U.S. Do you feel like you have come home?
I do. A lot of that is due to my wife, Elise, and our relationship. I feel really grounded. I have a backyard. I can walk out in the backyard and look up at the stars and be here at home. I did need that year abroad, though. That really helped me. It helped me in ways that I'll probably understand years from now.
Yeah. Well, and that brings us to this notion that the war is over. Your thoughts on that? You know, that it was very subdued, but still we saw the YouTube videos of the gate sliding closed at the border with Kuwait, and we saw the flag lowering ceremony, and so there's a sort of line in the sand, if you will. Your feeling about that?
Well, as a writer, sometimes it can feel comfortable to have a narrative when there's closure at the end of the narrative. It feels like things are tidy and wrapped up, and then you can go back into the story and try and figure it out or look for more meaning within the story. But I'm a history buff. I love history. But one of the problems and one of the faults I find with nearly every military historian is that you'll find in their tracks, if they talk about World War I or World War II, for example, they'll put wars on these tombstones. They'll put them within parentheses, 1941 to 1945 for America, for example. And I think they all have it wrong. Those end dates are all wrong. My grandfather today still deals with PTSD. World War II is very much alive in him, and the same will happen with this war.
So there might be a date, but that really has nothing to do with the troops.
No. Yeah. Or the people on the ground, the families back here at home, those overseas who've had war visited upon their soil.
Yeah. And you went back to Baghdad for the National Geographic magazine. And, you know, just wondering about that, because I remember, you know, veterans going back to Vietnam, it was just excruciating for some of them. First of all, what's that like to go back? And what do you think should happen now? You know, this was not, you know, Iraqis were not our enemy, you know. From that experience, what would you tell other military people about what they might do in the future to connect with Iraq, or should they?
For some, yes. There'd be many who that's just not something that's possible for them or something that they'd want to pursue. And I respect that. I'd like to branch out your question and frame it in a larger way for those who haven't been to Iraq as well, especially maybe the artists among us, because that's something very much in my wheelhouse. And part of my going back was as a soldier, but part of it was also going back as a writer. As a writer, I was able to meet some Iraqi poets and painters, and they're sort of waiting. You know, they see the guns and the tanks and the helicopters that have come, and they're wondering where is another part of the conversation, and not in a way where we impose a literature upon them, for example, but more in definitely a dialogue in art and that kind of constructive conversation. So if anybody is interested in that, I would encourage them to not sit by the sidelines and not get involved. They're waiting for us.
What was that like for you? You were there.
Yeah. I mean, I had an amazing conversation with a gentleman, Sadek Mohammed, a poet there in Baghdad. And I remember him telling me, he was talking about the British influences earlier in the last century. And he was talking about how they'd opened a bookstore there, and there was a very lively literary scene that created a lot of interaction between the writers of the day that's echoed into the present time. That's a theme that they're wondering if we will pick up on.
We mentioned that you teach. How does your Iraq experience make its way into that, or is it compartmentalized? How does it work?
It does. I'm I'm the director of a creative writing program at Sierra Nevada College, and it's on the shores of Lake Tahoe. And it's, for one, it's a beautiful place to go. So it inherently has built into it sort of a meditative quality that I think is useful for me as a writer and as a veteran. I'm trying to create a community of writers there that'll be inviting to veterans who choose to take pen to paper and maybe consider their experiences on the page.
I'm holding your book here, Bullet. As it says on the cover, Brian Turner, 2005 Beatrice Holly Award for your writing. I'm wondering if you would share the last poem with us and maybe just set it up a little bit, unless you want to just leave it for our own translation. Sure. But what were you trying to say here?
I've been given a great number of awards. I wrote 7 books before this one, manuscripts that were never published, while I was in uniform and before. So I'm very grateful as a writer for the attention the book's been given. But as a veteran, it is still difficult to sort of deal with some of the accolades, because in a sense, a lot of people, you know, people had to die for this poetry to exist. Mm. So I'm conflicted in the attention. To Sand, I'll just leave the poem as it is, but yeah. I think it's interesting to consider that this is a poem written by someone who's in Iraq. I wrote it while I was there, and I'm already in some ways speaking to my future self and to those of us at this very moment in time, actually, talking to all of us who are considering the idea that the war may be ended. The poem is called To Sand. To sand go tracers and ball ammunition. To sand the green smoke goes, each finned mortar spinning in light, each star cluster bursting above. To sand go the skeletons of war, year by year. To sand go the reticles of the brain, the minarets and steeple bells, brackish sludge from the open sewers, trash fires, the silent cowbirds resting on the shoulders of a yak. To sand, each head of cabbage unravels its leaves, the way dreams burn in the oil fires of night.
To sand, do you worry that someday all of this, all of everything you witnessed will be to sand and will be forgotten?
One day sounds distant, you know, far from the future. I worry that it'd be very soon. When I first came back from Iraq, I was doing some construction work in Fresno, California, my hometown. I started doing some adjunct teaching at the local city college where I had gone to school as well. And I remember asking the students then, this is 2005, I believe, and I remember asking them, when was the last time we as a nation had been, you know, fighting against the Iraqis? And in a class of 25 to 30 students, there was silence. And finally, one of the students raised her hand and sort of had a hesitant, was it 91, 92?
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, you know, how much attention do we pay to the things that we do in this world?
To take that forward, it would be someone raising their hand 20 years from now and saying,
right.
Wasn't there like an Iraq war? It was like around the something called 9/11 something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's our job, is to do what you're doing, to create a conversation, a dialogue. I'm trying to do it in my own form with poetry and with memoir and that type of thing, to attend to these things so that we preserve our memories and pass them on so that sand doesn't wash over.
Brian Turner, 2 of his recent books, Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise, a poet soldier. We'll have more at hearnow.org. Brian, thank you, and best to you.
Oh, thanks, Robin. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
My house is a Hanukkah Christmas house, and a few other things thrown in there, too. So it's a fun menagerie of religion. So whatever it is for you, I wish you well in the holidays. Hope you have a good time.
I'm just thrilled to hear you're doing that, since, you know, one of the times we talked, you weren't even sure you could come home, and now look at that.
Yeah. The world continually surprises.